until I met Jesus in 2022, that spring, summer, I didn't truly know what basketball meant to me. And ever since then, I just, like you said, I play with such freedom in knowing that what's meant to be on that court is meant to be. I don't worry about how the game's going to go. I don't worry about scoring. I don't worry about winning and losing. I know that if I play my hardest, God will do the rest.
Welcome to Stories of His Glory, a podcast where coaches, athletes, and partners of FCA share powerful stories of how Jesus Christ is transforming lives through the world of sports. Each episode, you'll hear real stories of people who've experienced the life-changing love of Jesus. Stories that will encourage, challenge, and inspire you to see how God is moving in and through the world of sports and each of our lives. Welcome to today's episode of Stories of His Glory. I'm your host, Ryan Jungling, joined today by Madison Castro, area rep at Bismarck State with FCA as a co-host. And today we have the privilege of sitting down with current Bismarck State college basketball player, Kennedy Stormer. Kennedy, thanks for joining us today.
It's good to be here.
So, Kennedy, if we opened a photo album of your life, which picture would you pick out and show us first to kind of, you know, learn who you are today? And yeah, which picture would you pick out?
Yeah, there's been a lot of pictures, especially in the last 3 years of my life. But there's one in particular that I'm thinking of. It's actually my lock screen on my phone. It's my husband, myself, and my daughter. It's after a basketball game that we had just won. So I'm in my jersey. My daughter's in her Stormer jersey. And I think it reflects a lot more than a lot of people would think. Obviously, the blessings of my husband and my daughter. And then just wearing a jersey again is super special to me. It's recent, so it's the numbers that I've been praying for this season statistically. Just grateful for the glory that has come with the hard work that's been put in and Jesus shining through me on the floor. And yeah, just with my family, just it's special. It's a reflection of every good thing that God's given me lately. So
that's really cool. There's a lot to that. And, you know, I think if after our conversation, if somebody goes back and listens to that description right there, is just a really cool thing that God's been doing in your life. And yeah, so let's keep going kind of in that realm. You kind of hinted at a couple things that want to pick out a little bit. On the basketball side, you said putting a jersey on again. So you play college basketball at Bismarck State, which is a first-year program in the NAIA. So it's a four-year program, was a two-year program up until this year. And so you have this unique opportunity to come back and play. What were you coming back and like fill in the gap just there? Because I think it's a really unique part of your story.
Yeah, I just actually shared this part of my story the other night in giving my testimony for the first time. I got to share this amazing part of my life. So I started at Northern State for a year, headed to Minot for 3 years. And then I thought it would be my senior year of basketball. You know, had my senior night. I did all the crying, throwing the shoes away, like all that dramaticness that comes with it. I did all that. And it was a tough decision to leave basketball and leave a year of eligibility behind. It was tough for my family to part ways with me across the country. And then it was really hard for my dad to see me leave a year of basketball. Basketball is a very connecting part for me and my dad. We bond over it. It's both a big part of both of our lives. So it's just a really special thing that we share. And my senior year at Minot, I was very successful, especially towards the end. And I give all glory to God. That's the only year basketball at Minot that I can say I played with him on the court. So obviously, it just reaped the success that he gave me. So especially that I was successful, it was hard for my family to see me end it there. And ultimately, just praying about it, me and my boyfriend at the time were long distance, and it just felt right to be closer to him and grow together in our lives. So that's what I did. I moved to Pennsylvania for 2 years. He was out there in doctor of physical therapy school at Messiah University. So I headed there with him for 2 years. And then this is kind of where I just share how cool God works in this story. It just all connects in a way that I couldn't have even imagined. So yeah, Bismarck State goes to a 4-year. My dad takes the head coaching job. Two of my sisters are coming back to play. And one's coming back, one's graduating from high school. I found out I was expecting a baby, and then I'd have just enough time to get back into shape to play. And I was moving home, so it all just seemed to kind of work out in the best way, the only time it could. And then I always say my family didn't understand, and my dad didn't love the choice of me ending it there, but obviously, God worked it out in a way that I could play for him, and I still had that year to play for him.
Yeah, so you come back. Your dad's like, hey, you have this year of eligibility left. You haven't played in 2 years. You weren't even living in North Dakota, but you have this year of eligibility. And because of all the things of COVID and the way that college sports has changed, right? And so you get to come back. You had, when you were in Pennsylvania, gotten married.
Yes.
You... Like, what did your husband, Lincoln, what did he think when you're like, I think I want to go and give basketball one more shot?
Yeah. So that was actually his words. Mine were, I don't think so.
Okay. So he was the encourager.
Yes, he was. He loved watching me play at Minot on live stream. They're all live stream, except for one, because he was in school. So he wanted more than anything to watch me again in person. And
yeah.
Tackle it on. He was all for it. And I was like, well, I'm having a baby. One. Two, I haven't shot in 2 years. It just seemed, and I'm old. I'm older than all of them. So it just seemed so out of reach. And then, you know, we did a lot of thinking and praying as a family. And it just seemed too rare to pass up, to play for him, to play at home, to play with two of my sisters, to have a baby in the crowd. I decided I think I have to go for it. So,
yeah. Yeah. And so we could probably talk about a lot of things. I know you have things that you're really passionate about that we're going to get to in a minute. But what did you, like, when you made the decision to like, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to go to BSC. I'm going to finish out this year. I get to play with, you know, two of your sisters, one of which you have never played with, I believe.
No.
And what did... How did you think it was going to go? How about let's start with that one. How did you think it was going to go?
Yeah, I was unsure, I guess. Being there all, you know, 18 to 20, 21 years old, I was like, oh boy, like, what am I getting myself into? Like, I'm just going to show up, go to practice, go home, do my thing, and that's about it. And obviously, I've tried to make an impact in a lot more ways than that, on and off the court with my teammates. I've played with a lot of teams, and this one is just as special. These girls are just as special to me. So,
yeah. And so how it's gone is not that. Mm-hmm. It's not the show up, go home, you know, hope things are happening. I mean, you're like at top of the leaderboard in almost every offensive category in the conference and around the country. And you've been offensive player of the week a number of times in the conference. You were a couple of weeks ago offensive player for all of NAIA basketball, women's basketball. And yeah, that's been really, really fun to just like, it's just like Stormer again, Stormer again, Stormer again. So what do you, it's like an improbable type of story, right? So what do you attribute that to?
Yeah, I give all glory to God. I really do. I've played a lot of basketball in my life and never have I played to the success I have now. And I know that's not my own doing. I have tried to play to my own doing and it didn't work out for me for a long time. You know, high school was a different story. It was just a kid trying to figure out how it goes. Then I got to college and it was a reality check for me. I struggled with every part of basketball. It was hard to get court time. It was hard to just show up every day and work towards something that I felt like wasn't working. So yeah, until then, until I met Jesus in 2022, that spring, summer, I didn't truly know what basketball meant to me. And ever since then, I just, like you said, I play with such freedom in knowing that what's meant to be on that court is meant to be. I don't worry about how the game's going to go. I don't worry about scoring. I don't worry about winning and losing. I know that if I play my hardest, God will do the rest. And I think that's shown this season. I try to just go out there and play with him on the court, and that's all I can do.
Yeah, that's really cool. So we'll get back to this. We'll connect it. We'll connect the dots as we go. But like, you've grown up in a family that is a sports family for sure. So why don't you talk a little bit about your family? You know, you already hinted that you have two sisters, but that's not where it stops. Yeah. So yeah, why don't you kind of go back a little bit, talk a little bit about your family, and then just how basketball and sports in general has been a really big part of your family's life.
Yeah, I have five younger sisters, so I'm the oldest of six. And then obviously my parents. Yeah, we're a big sports family. We're super close. Spend a lot of time together. I'm always with at least one sister.
Yeah.
So that's cool to have back at home. Yeah, we're just very close in sports, especially. We're always there supporting another sister. So I think that's super cool. Like when I have the three youngest ones that I don't mention a lot, whenever there's a sport, we're always there together. And I think that's just super cool that no matter who's playing, someone's there and we're always all there supporting. So,
yeah. And I feel like maybe this is I know you're not living in the dorms, but I feel like you at some point when you were really young and your dad was coaching maybe in Williston or
Botno.
Mm-hmm. You guys lived in the dorms,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So you as a baby, maybe a toddler, like living in the dorms as you, because your dad's been a college coach for a long time.
Yeah.
So. So when you were in like high school, as you started to get more competitive in sports, like what did your year look like, you know, with just sports in general, basketball and what else? Like what did that look like in the Harris household?
I feel like it was just so normalized in our household. Just you wake up, you go to school, you go to practice, you do homework depending on the sister, and then you go to bed and you do it again. Yeah. So I think it's just so normalized. It's what everyone does. If you were the little ones, like my two little sisters, they have games on the weekends. So it's every day there's something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you were really, you know, you were in volleyball. You played college volleyball for a season, I think, or something like that, right?
Yes.
And I know I got to know you when you were playing fast pitch and I was coaching, and always been you're a competitor at heart. You want to win. You want to do what it takes. Like people look up to you. They did when you were in middle school and you were playing on a team with a lot older people, like people looked up to you because you were a leader. When did you maybe realize that something was missing?
I would say it was going into my senior year of basketball in college.
Okay.
I don't know. I just felt down. In college, I went through a lot. It was a roller coaster. Had a lot of high moments and a lot of really low moments. And in high school, so prior to college, I didn't really feel those super low moments. I don't know if it's because I was still living at home. I was still in high school. Like, I wasn't on my own. So I wasn't able to kind of see those moments yet.
And the basketball team you were on was very talented.
Right.
And you won a lot.
Yeah.
And low moments would have been things like losing really big games at the end of the season, kind of a thing.
Yeah. And even that wasn't anything that I experienced in college.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So just as some context, maybe.
So it was going into college. There's a lot of things. It wasn't just basketball. It was just life. Like I don't know if I have a specific reason, which you don't need to if you don't have Jesus. It was just, life, my friends, my life. Like, I just, if I wasn't partying, I was confused in life. I was just, well, what the heck do I do now? And I didn't like basketball. It wasn't going well. So didn't even want to pursue that per se anymore. I was going through a relationship that I didn't know if I wanted to be a part of anymore. So just a lot of kind of dark moments in my life getting through that. And I didn't know I needed something bigger, but I'm glad that He found me.
So what was it that changed?
I like to say a lot that God uses people. And in this situation, God had put my now husband in my life. And I know that he was meant to be in my life because of how Jesus shined through him to me. When I was at this dark place, kind of just scrambling in life, I was on an intramural volleyball team at Minot State. And it was in the spring, and my husband Lincoln was on the team. And oh my gosh, I thought he was so odd. Like, he was just this tryhard guy, and he's just kind of like bubbly. And I was like, okay, like, this guy's interesting. That's what I thought. And then we kept playing together, and I gave him like a couple rides home because, I don't know, they're just guys who kind of hopped in my car. Like, the whole team just kind of hopped in my car. I gave him a ride back to their apartment, and I thought he was cute, obviously. He's my husband, so I thought he was cute at the time. I still do. Anyways, so one time he was the last one to be dropped off. And he kind of just like said to me, like, how you doing? And I said, oh, you know, whatever. Yeah, I don't even know what I said. I do know my grandpa got pretty sick for the first time also during all of this. So that was really dragging me down. And I remember telling him this, and he stayed in my car, and he's like, well, have you, you know, talked to God or prayed about it? Like, I'm sure he has an answer for you. And I'm like, no, thanks, but no, I don't know how to do that. And he's like, okay, well, he kind of prayed for me, and I was just like, okay, thanks. And then he hopped out of my car. I thought nothing of it. I was like, that was weird. I don't know what that was about. Like, intimidated in a way.
Yeah.
But I still felt this connection towards him. And I could tell he did too. You know, he was always bugging me, for lack of better words. He was bugging me a lot, would never leave my side. And, you know, we were just hanging out a lot. And I would still come to him with a lot of things going on in my life. And he'd kind of probe the same questions, like, well, let's pray about it. Or let's, you know, he'd really talk through things. And I don't know if that's necessarily what I wanted at the time, but that's how he went about it. And one time he was like, well, would you be willing to try a Bible study with me? And I was like, oh, sure. And he's like, okay, why don't you read John chapter 1, and then we'll study it together like the next day or whatever. And so I was like, okay, yeah, no problem. And I was like, oh, goodness, like, I would have done anything to spend time with him. And so I committed to doing this, and I found my Bible, which was, you know, back in my closet. Didn't even know I had one, honestly, at the time. So I grabbed it and turned to John chapter 1, which took me forever to find because I had no idea how to even navigate a Bible. And I remember reading the words for the first time. No idea what they meant. I was like, what? No idea. Who are these people? What are these words? No idea. So I didn't want to look stupid in front of him, though, because it was like, it was still fresh, and I didn't want to look dumb with things I said, because I could tell he was very intelligent in his faith. And I watched like 4 hours of YouTube videos just on John chapter 1 for something to memorize and say so I don't look stupid. So that's what I did. I wrote like this beautiful, like colorful, like John 1 summary on my notebook. And I was like sending him pictures like, look what I'm doing. And he's like, oh, like he was so encouraging. Like anything I did, it was so awesome to him. And so, yeah, that first one was just the start of where I am today. I remember each Bible study, it just connected more and more. Yeah. And he was always so encouraging. Anything I had to say was good to him. It was applicable to my life. Yeah, it was just, it was great. He was very offish, though, at this time. He was confusing to a 20-year-old girl. Mm. He would talk to me because, you know, we had a connection. And then he'd go days without talking to me, and I couldn't even get a hold of him. And I was so confused and annoyed and angry and sad. And yeah, I was just confused. It was like a pattern. Then he talked to me again. And he never really did tell me why until we were already dating and together. And he did tell me, and I'm so thankful for this. He told me he knew he couldn't be with me. And it was really, really tough on him because he knew I had a good heart. I was a good person. But did I know and love Jesus? No, not yet. So if he did tell me that, he was worried that, you know, I would put on a little front or just say what he wanted to hear. And I might have, I don't know, but I'm thankful that he let me find Jesus before that. So that's kind of how it happened. Yeah, God used someone to reach me. And yeah.
So you talked about the first time before you did Bible study with Lincoln, you read John 1, which is where a lot of people have people start. And it makes sense. It's trying to give you this picture of Jesus as a man, but also as God, right? As the Messiah and God the Creator. But it's kind of confusing in the beginning. And so you watch 4 hours of videos trying to learn John 1 so you don't sound like you don't know anything.
Yeah.
And it seems like at the time it was very transactional. Like you were doing that because you like Lincoln and you're like, I'm going to do whatever.
Yeah.
When did that change to where you weren't reading scripture, where you were reading scripture not to find your future husband?
Yeah.
But you were reading scripture to find Jesus the Savior.
Yeah.
You remember that?
I do. Yeah. Yeah. I would say for about a month of just reading, it came pretty quick. I know God speaks quickly to people, especially when they're in such a low place. That's how a lot of people find Jesus. And yeah, it worked for me. I would say about a month in, I started to feel his presence. I didn't really know if I did, but something was different in my life. Yeah, there's a specific time where I can say, like, I truly felt God's presence with me. So it was after a basketball practice. It was postseason. So we had finished season. We just got a new coach. And it was the worst practice. Like, I came back to my place and I was just like, so like thinking like, I don't know if I want to play this anymore. And, you know, break my family's heart, break my dad's heart, just the example I was for my sisters. Like, I was confused. And I often went on drives in Minot by myself, just listening to sad music, you know, like girls do. That's what I did. And I also had been attending church. The name is Eagle's Wings, just a small evangelical church. That's where I had started going. That's where Lincoln and I were long distance at the time. So every Bible study we did was FaceTime every night. So he told me, you should try this church. So I did. And I really liked it a lot. So anyways, on this drive, I kind of was just driving around, like, just so upset and sad. And I found myself in the parking lot of this church. It was probably like 9 p.m. I was just sitting in the parking lot, just kind of debating life, everything in my life in my head, whether it was basketball, just life, Lincoln, because we weren't really together yet. Like, I was just, everything was going through my head. And I had brought my Bible just in case we had that Bible study in the car, because I didn't know how long my drive would be. And so he was still doing something, but I just parked and I opened it and I just started reading. I think I Googled like verses to read when you're super sad or something. Yeah. And I just started reading and reading, and I don't know, just all of a sudden, like, the verses just spoke to me. Like, God was truly in that car with me. Like, it was the first time I felt at peace. Yeah, I remember it. And
how amazing how God moves and works. You know, we know the Bible is living and active, and that's a picture of it as living and active. Not just a book, not a library of a bunch of different kinds of writing. Like, it is that, but it's living and active because God is the author and God is active and moving and works through it. And, oh, wow. I'm sure that moment, like, as you shared it, that moment mm-hmm. changed your life.
Yeah.
Like, God is real.
Yeah. And since that night, my whole life kind of just started doing a 360 in the best way possible. I made a lot of friends that I was meant to have. I lost a lot of friends. Even my teammates, you know, not all of them believed in Jesus, but the love that we had for each other was so different. It's so special. The clothes I was wearing, I don't want to wear anymore. The things I did, you know, going out to the bars with my friends, it wasn't really a thing anymore I wanted to do. And that is how I still have a couple of my best friends today. They didn't care. They still loved being with me. So, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we get a new heart.
Yeah.
And your old self was gone.
Yeah.
And a new heart, a new creation. That's so awesome.
Yeah. I have a cool story to share about that. So John chapter 3 is what we are working on in our women's basketball study. We'll do that on Saturday. I was just kind of, you know, reading through that again today. And Jesus talks about being born again. And they have such a cool story about that. So it's probably when Lincoln and I were like 2 months into dating. I knew Jesus. I loved reading his word. I found that at this time. And so they say in your dreams that you never die. So in your dreams, you like get to the point of like, oh, he's chasing me. And then you fall asleep or wake up or fall deeper into sleep and wake up. They say you never can truly see yourself past. And anyways, I had a dream one night and it was so crazy. I still remember it. I looked at myself and I was gone and I was still in my dream, and it's never happened before and it hasn't happened since. And that freaked me out. I woke up and I was like, oh my gosh, like I just looked at myself like dead in my dreams. Like, what the heck? And I was freaked out. And so I called Lincoln and I told him, and he's like, that's a real thing. And I was like, what are you talking about? And he's like, he like Googled the exact words to share with me. And it was like, it means that your heart is born again. Like that self of you died. Mm. And I just thought that was so cool because it was so true. Like that's crazy. Yeah. I just wanted to share how crazy that was to me.
Yeah.
And the moment I knew that,
right,
I was saved. God saved me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think about God works in amazing ways, and you know, God knows what we need, you know, whether it's 4 hours of YouTube in John to just hear over and over again who Jesus is, whether it's something like how God can move through dreams and what you think and people you run into. And it's just wild. Like, nothing is outside of, like, God is all is sovereign. He's all knowing. He's all loving. He knows what you need. Mm-hmm. He knows what it takes. He knows how everything in your life led up to that point of surrender. Mm-hmm. When the words on the page started to come alive, you're like, this actually is changing my life.
Yeah.
And that's super powerful.
Yeah.
So just seeing you lead on campus with your teammates, you represent so much more than just basketball and just like the practice and the games. You have such a way about you. Like, I notice that they look up to you and they listen to you and they're so excited to get in the Bible and read the word with you, which is so cool. So my question for you is to those listening to this podcast and to athletes listening who are a few steps behind you, mm-hmm. what do you want to say to them?
Yeah, I would say don't be intimidated or worried about where you're at in your faith. We all start from somewhere. My husband and I like to say we're such a good duo because he was raised knowing God. I wasn't. So we both have that perspective of where we're at in our faith. And, you know, I've gone through ruts of you know, like struggling to find what God is trying to tell me. I think my husband has. We just, sometimes life does take over, whether that be because of sadness or heartbreak. My husband lost his dad a couple years ago. And, you know, we just, sometimes it got hard to find what we were meant to be doing in that point in our lives or what God was trying to tell us. And yeah, I would just say that Jesus will find you. It's not only his own doing. You have to choose him. You have to choose to read. You have to choose to talk to him. So just to keep pursuing, because he will find you.
Yeah. So you have this like where you're at today. You just talked about your journey and where you're at and how your husband, who have had the chance to meet and, you know, is just on fire for Christ and has been on fire for Christ for a long time.
Yeah.
And that has helped you to grow for sure. You now have this impact with the team that you're on now. But like over the last 2.5, 3 years, just like from that point in the parking lot at the church to where you're at today, what are like the biggest things that you have learned about the character of God?
Yeah. Forgiving. It's just crazy to me. It really is how, you know, the life I lived before finding him, like, just doesn't matter. And like, I'm so grateful that I got to live the life I did. And when I found him, because I can help others as well who have been down the path I've been.
So it was probably 1.5, 2 years ago, something like that. I was on Instagram and, you know, you're a former athlete of mine. And so I would follow along and just like try to keep up with people. Like, how's it going at college? And, and like see the highlights and all the shares and stuff.
Yeah.
And I came across a post. And it was you, well, it was your Bible open, and you were by a river.
Yeah.
And for me, that was like, holy cow, what happened? Not that I, you know, as your coach, I knew how you were on the field and that was it. But to see like this open declaration of your face.
Mm-hmm.
In such a powerful way. That was really cool. And then to see your boldness when you announced that you and Lincoln were getting married. And I remember reading on your wedding website, because you were living in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
And you like made it very clear that like separate apartments.
Yeah.
And I just want to just say thank you for that witness. Because that is so countercultural.
Mm-hmm.
That is just, it's the norm for that not to be the case.
Yeah.
I think it is a testimony to how God moves and creates somebody new.
Yeah.
And so just want to be really clear about that because it's really important. And it's what God had been doing in and through you, in and through Lincoln. And how he is using your story to point people to him.
Yeah. It's really important for us to, I don't know if show is the right word, but, you know, just share, like, this is what Jesus is doing for us. And this is where we believe that he wants us to be. We know we would have a lot of people reading that. We had a lot of guests. So I think we more did it just to reach out to people to have them, you know, think like, oh, what does that mean? Why would they not be? And it was extremely hard. I'm a chicken in life, I would say. It's gotten better because I tried to just, you know, well, God's got me. Like, I say that a lot, but I am a chicken. And so living downtown Harrisburg, pretty much in an apartment by myself, it was tough. Like, it wasn't ideal in any way, but we both knew that that's where God wanted us until we had that unity as one.
So you've been married now for a year and a half.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Tell us about your daughter.
Yeah, she's awesome. She's the biggest blessing in both of our lives. Yeah, she's just, it's such an example of why God gives us children. It's not easy. It's not meant to be easy, but just the love you have for them, it's something only God can give you, that you understand that love in such a way. We both just talk about, like, we just sit there and look at her like how, what a blessing. Like, it's crazy. And yeah, we love her. So
yeah. Yeah. It's pretty amazing. Kids are amazing. And
yeah,
every stage has its challenges and also has such amazing blessings. Yeah. And you know, you're doing something that not a lot of female college athletes are doing, being a mom, having a little one. He gets practice early in the morning, which sleep is probably a premium right now. It already is, but then you have to, you know, be a practice.
Yeah.
With a six on the clock is difficult, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But you're also doing something that not a lot of people do. And so there's probably it's probably kind of fun at the same time. Like, and not everybody I'm playing. Yeah. Has their daughter in the stand. Yeah. So game day, has your like pregame routine changed or anything, or things that you look forward to when you have a home game in particular and your daughter's there?
Yeah. I love home games. My daughter and my husband are there and I don't have to be without either of them. So obviously I love those weekends. Yeah. Routine. I don't have a routine. No, it changes every day, every game day. It's sometimes my husband, you know, he's home on most Fridays. Sometimes he's working at the Mandan Hospital. So sometimes I have his help. Sometimes we have shoot around. Sometimes she's fussy. Sometimes she's happy. You know, sometimes I get to eat at a normal time. Sometimes I don't, but it's all different. But I love it. I love the busy. I love the hard. I love the difficult. I love the glory it reaps. I love it. I love all of
yeah,
it.
Yeah. And that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
You know, have your daughter in the stands and
yeah.
Wearing a jersey with your new last name on it. Yes. That's pretty awesome.
Yes. Well. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How's it been playing with your sisters?
Yeah, it's been awesome. I played with Piper for 1 year in high school. And then Harper, I haven't played with at all. So it's just great. Sometimes, well, they bicker more often than I do with them. But it's fun to have people know on the team the level of play that you're capable of. Hmm. Especially my dad, too, being there. I know they all hold me to a standard that they know I'm capable of on the court and off the court. But I think I have the same for them. I don't treat them, you know, differently than any other teammate. I tell them when they need correction or I glorify them when that's necessary. But it's been so fun. Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
Especially when, you know, there's a decent age difference between you and you and Harper. So
yeah,
it's kind of fun.
Yeah.
You get to be on the court together.
Yeah. It's fun.
So Kennedy, what is next for you?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of possibilities, but I'm excited for the what's next. I'm excited to, you know, raise my daughter and continue building our family. My husband has a travel physical therapy job, so we'll have to see kind of where we end up with that, since he is the one who doesn't work from home. I have ideas of hopping on the coaching staff with my dad. I know that will just, you know, I love the game. I love playing the game. I love coaching the game. I love, you know, seeing girls just grow in a lot of ways. I can tell from playing this game with this team that there has been just a lot of growth on and off the court. And I love watching it and being a part of it. So I think that'll be a high possibility next year that I get to continue being around the game and just leading women.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's see how many Harrises can all be on the same team at the same time.
Yeah. Right.
There is a limit to that.
Yeah.
There is a limit to that, for sure. Yeah. So let's kind of finish where you eventually started talking about how Jesus really changed your life. Let's think about the athlete or the young woman, the young man, whoever, that was where you were at when you were in Minot. And you maybe didn't know what you were looking for, but you maybe had the thought of like, is there something more? Like, is this all that life is?
Yeah.
So first of all, what would you tell that person? And then secondly, if you would point them to scripture, where would you send them?
Yeah. So if I were to help someone or just talk to someone at the stage I was in, I think that's why I tell my story and why I let Jesus shine through me. And I'm grateful that he does. I think, you know, all these opportunities I've had lately, just talking to the world and my voice being heard, I know that that's God's doing and that he wants to be heard. And he's just using me as someone to do it. And I'm so happy that I'm one of those people. Yeah, I would just tell that person, like, true joy is such a gift. And where that joy comes from. And I'd hope by just showing them and telling them gets them interested in wanting to find joy.
Yeah.
Not just being happy, but having true joy in situations in life. It's worth looking into.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if I could point them to any verse, it'd be honestly any of the Gospels. I just think it's so touching to see the miracles God works and just the life that Jesus lives. And yeah, just going throughout Jesus' life, I think paints such a picture of what the Holy Trinity is.
Yeah.
And just, I think that's what helped me. Like, did God really, Jesus really turn that water into wine? Or did he really do these things? Like, it's just crazy to see these miracles. And then once you see him on paper, you kind of just, you know, feel that joy inside you, and you start seeing the miracles that are worked in your life. I mean, whether it be, could be as little as like my family. It's such a miracle that we're so close. Like, it doesn't have to be anything extravagant that happened in life, but you start seeing those miracles God truly gave you. So I would point them to the Gospels.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And you get, like you said, you see miraculous things that Jesus did. And then you see at the end that it's a case built that Jesus has power. And then you see him on a cross. And you've already seen he could get rid of that, but he chooses not to. And yeah, that's so good to think about that. And then to recognize what God was already doing in your life, right? Like, you talked about your family, and your family has always been close, and everything that anybody sees is, there was always, because I could never remember your sister's name, 4, 5, and 6 were always running around at every game that I was coaching that you were playing in. And just to see that, like, that is a blessing from God.
Yeah, absolutely.
That now, after you have surrendered your life to Christ, you have the ability to be a witness to everybody in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really cool. That's really cool to see how God moves in that.
Yeah, it's been special to me. Just being around my family, they support my faith. They're interested. My sisters come to our team Bible study, and we're all at a place in our faith. And just being there is so special, and God working. I got a text yesterday from Harper that said, she just bought like a $70 study Bible from Barnes & Noble. So I thought that was super cool. Yeah.
That's awesome.
That's super cool. And what a cool witness to God moving in your life that leads somebody to say, well, if God's done this in Kennedy's life, like what?
Yeah.
Like, I need to know more about this.
Yeah.
And I just think that's really cool how we have influence over and with people that are in our circles. And that could be used for God's glory is the main thing.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for sitting down today. It's been a lot of fun to have a conversation. And thanks, Madison, for being here. And yeah, just being a part of this conversation. So
yeah, thanks for having me.
Thanks again for being part of Stories of His Glory. If today's episode inspired you, take a moment to share it. And be sure to follow or subscribe so you won't miss what's coming next. Psalm 96:3 reminds us, to declare His glory among the nations, His wondrous works among all peoples. The field is yours. Now go glorify Him.